Welcome, everybody. Father's Day. A while back, we knew Nathan wasn't going to be here. I was a little late in finally stepping up and saying I would fill today for him. So he called a couple days later and asked if I had anything I wanted to put in the bulletin. And I wasn't ready for that yet, okay? But something... It's just been this week, basically, the last 7 or 8 days that I've dealt with this. And I have no scripture to read at the beginning here, which is a little unorthodox, because what I'm going to say is it doesn't come from one passage or one scripture. But I would like to pray over it before I start. Father, I just ask that you would be with us today as we celebrate Father's Day. And just be with me, Lord. Speak through me is what you've given me to say, and may it make some sense, and Father, may it maybe be of value to us, not just fathers, but to us as parents, Lord. We just ask this thing in Jesus' name. So I have a tendency when I do come up here to share kind of what got me to where I am. I've done that once or twice before, and I'm going to do that again today because it was very strange. When I first told him that I would do it, I wanted to speak to fathers. Or I don't know that I wanted to. I just felt like that I should, but I didn't know how to do it. So one of the first things that came to me, when I walk or go out and walk on a trail or something, that's when these types of things kind of come to me. And it was, for some reason, he laid something on me that I read when I was in middle school. Okay, it was a book. I used to read a lot of sports character books when I was in upper elementary, where you had to take tests over these books. So I'd read about baseball players and basketball players and stuff like that. I cannot tell you who this guy was. He was a professional baseball player that had written an ode to his mother, actually. Okay, and I do know that he played for the Dodgers. And this was back in the Brooklyn Dodgers days. And I do know that he grew up in the projects in New York, in Brooklyn. So he got to actually play and as a professional, you know, in the town he grew up, that had to be some kind of blessing. But the whole story was about the fact that his dad wasn't around much. He wasn't present. And he ended the book with saying, presence. Be present to your children. But basically, the story was an ode to his mother. Because he was a very good baseball player, and Dad never had anything to do with it except showing up on the big major games when he would get his accolades for having such a great athletic son. It was Mom that got him to practice. It was Mom that went out in the courtyard in the projects and threw balls to him and played catch with him and got other boys to set up and play. She was the one. She was present. So it was an ode to his mother. But any man that read it, it would be a lesson to a father, okay, of not being present for their son. So this word presence is what I wanted to speak on, but I had no idea how to do it. So, like all of us, I get online and I start Googling or looking for outlines for Father's Day sermons, okay? And I come up with there. A lot of preachers have preached on it, okay? So I get all kinds of them. One of them just used the prodigal son as an example, okay, of forgiveness and how a good father would be. And so I looked at that pretty quickly, and it just didn't seem enough, okay? It didn't cover enough, it didn't seem like. Another one was an approach, he said, that a lot of men take of trying to improve on how their father raised them, to be more understanding, more available, less critical, maybe more encouraging than their own father was when they raised their children. And it was really pretty good. I looked at that for a little bit. But I wasn't in competition with my own dad, and I wasn't really in a place to try to judge his shortcomings, so I couldn't go that route. Another one, and the one I thought I was going to do, was just a list of scriptures. Cindy and Gail hit on a couple of them. Just a list of scriptures that were from in the Bible about how to be a father, okay? And there's a lot of them. There's a lot of different ones, okay? So I started looking those up, and I had a bunch of them, but I didn't know how to tie them together. But I'm still, this whole time, this little boy and his mom playing this thing of presence, being present, just was in my mind. So Cindy's on the Father's Day committee, you know, this was just a couple nights ago, and she says, "Hey, I just found the 5 P's of fatherhood." So if you do want to take some notes in that note section, the title of my message here today is Being There. And she said, this is the 5 P's of fatherhood that she found. So I had her read them to me. You could put these 5 P's under that. Presence, being there. So that hit right off the bat. Presence is where I was on this thing. I just didn't know how to deal with it. Providing, meeting needs. 3, protecting, ensuring safety. 4, principles, teaching values. And 5, patience, guiding with calm understanding. So she read those and I wrote them down. And as I read through them, I didn't think of my father. I didn't think of myself as a father. I didn't think of any of the men that, as I've been in this church for 40-some years, that I valued their example as a father. I just thought of God. First thing I thought of was God. My heavenly Father and how He is these things to me. Nathan had kind of said something along those lines right at the beginning when he read his verse. So that kind of gave me a way to approach this. I decided to look up verses pertaining to God in presence, providing, protecting, principles, and patience. Our Heavenly Father's example. He gave us Jesus Christ as an example of the perfect Son following and honoring His Father. But the Father that should be our example is God Himself. And it goes beyond the verses in His God-breathed words that He's given us in the Bible as guidance. Let's look to Him as the example. So, now I found a lot of verses on each of these. I chose to pick 2. Here, I chose to just pick 2 under each of these areas to use our Heavenly Father as our example. And when it comes to presence, I found 2. One is Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you with my righteous hand." And also Genesis 28:15. "Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Now, we're not God, obviously. But these things, I think we can convey to our children. So there may not be a better gift that we could give our children than their confidence that we'll always be there for them. I know I'm 70 years old, and I still need that. And my heavenly, Cindy shook her head, "I'm not quite December." I still need that. So, presence. Presence is very important. Providing. Under providing, I picked Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And also Matthew 21:22. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Now, when it comes to providing, you know, we've got young fathers here, young parents. Really, this is about parenting, not just fathers. But providing for children, it's very, you know, when they're little and young, it's easy to see what they need. And we have a tendency to, you know, take care of that without much thought. But as they grow older, folks, it doesn't get easier. Those of you with young ones, it does not get easier when they're older. It is different, okay? But it can still be just as heartbreaking. It can still be just as frustrating. It can still be just as, I don't know. But when it comes to provision, as young we see it, as they get older, we need to realize they still need our provision. And our God gives it to us. God gives it to us, and I need it. I need my Heavenly Father providing for me. Okay, so I know not all my needs are going to be met. They may not be as bountiful as I would like to see sometimes, and maybe what I could provide to my children throughout the different ages of years that I had them wasn't as bountiful as they'd like to see. I know that in the days of those jeans that cost $150 and something, you know, Stephanie didn't get them, but she got what she needed. She was provided for. Okay. And I feel that way. So, providing. Protection. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, "But the Lord is faithful. He will establish and guard you against the evil one." And Psalms 46:1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very presence, help in trouble." So again, when they're babies, there's a lot of things we do for protection. What's a good car seat cost these days? We know, and we spend a lot of time making sure that they're protected, teaching them how to cross a street, teaching them how to stay put in the parking lot when you get them out of the car for a minute, protecting them when they're young. But we need protection all through our lives. My adult children still need protection. I need protection. I need God's protection. We concentrate when they're young wholeheartedly on the obvious things that need protection. As they get older, there's other things that they need protected from, and it is not always easy to try to provide that protection. Okay, you see an adult child making a mistake that you know is going to be a problem when they're 3 years old, you take charge of that and put an end to it. When they're 40, you can't quite approach things that way. But they still need our protection. So I'm glad God's there for me, there to protect me and be my Heavenly Father. I hope that in one way or another, I can still find the right words, the right actions to protect my children at whatever age you're at. Principles. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him and should not perish, but have eternal life." And Psalms 119:105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Now, as earthly parents, we spend a lot of time teaching, I believe, principles, trying to be a guide and an example, and, you know, being honest, doing a good day's work for, you know, your pay, being kind, all these principles we like to teach them. But when you take principles and ask for verses pertaining to God's principles, what you get are a lot of the verses that are outlining God's plan for us. That's what you get. His principles is the plan that he has for us. We can't really, I have a hard time seeing how I can be that for my children. Those principles. But part of the principles I teach, have taught them over the years, hopefully guides them to knowing that God's plan. We raised them up in the church. Maybe in some situations I'd like to see some of my children to come more closer back to the church, but raise them up knowing God's principles and at least leaving them with the impact of where to find them. And I do look at them and I see them as far as our earthly principles. They're all good people. As far as following God's his plan for their lives, I still pray for that. And guess what? The older you get and then your kids, what comes along, you get grandchildren. And some people say, well, you get a second chance there. Now, I'm still working on the first chance. Okay? I'm still working on the 40-some-year-old kids I had that had those children. But the amazing thing is you can work through them. I'll just share a story that's a little personal here. Cindy, our grandchildren, summer camp, wore us out. But we brought them here to the Vacation Bible School. And if you were involved in that, you know Brian's kids, Bailey and Noah, and they go home and they ask their parents if they've been saved. We did get a second chance, I guess. But the principles that I put in my son, I hope that the values that he got when he was here at that time, when he looks at his own children, he will not be able to deprive them of that. That he will, okay? Principles. So we do a good job with our earthly principles here, but the one thing we need to keep in mind from our Heavenly Father's point of view, try to point out what his principles are for them, at least to the point that when they grow older and they're no longer under your roof, they know where to go to find those again. Say if you raise them up, they'll come back. We'll see. Maybe with the help of our grandchildren, it will. Patience. How we do on that one? Patience. Exodus 34:6. The Lord is all merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And Romans 9:22. What if this? I had a hard time picking this one to actually put in here, but it says, what if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? The reason I kept that one in there is because I am so thankful for my Heavenly Father's patience, because he could very easily unleash that wrath on me. But our children can feel that way too. May your children, you know, what I wrote down for this, it says, may our children know and feel that no matter how much they feel they have disobeyed or disappointed us, that they can always return to open and loving arms. So we can get upset with our kids, and we can, yeah. But with patience, we can always bring them back in in a loving way. And the reason I put that there is because how I feel I have fell so short of what I need to be to God, to my Heavenly Father. I know there are times that my children feel that way to me, and I just pray for the patience to not take that upper hand that I could, that acting too quickly there. Okay. So it just brings, so I know that my Heavenly Father is all these things to me. Going through this was just trying to use him as an example on some of the things that we might work on as earthly fathers. But it brings me back to presence. It brings me back to that story of that young boy playing catch out there in the commons area, the projects with his mom. And I remember him saying, well, he just wanted to please his dad. Everything he did in baseball was to try to please his dad. And he'd look around in the crowd, and he wasn't there except for the big games. The big ones where he was, and he said, and I was usually the hero, and then, he would show up for them. And he even went as far to say that once he made it to the pros, about how his dad came out of the woodwork then pretty solid. Tried to, but it was a little too late. So it was an ode to a mother, but it was also, but it was presence, okay? And presence is so important. That's why I think God put that word on me and reminded me of this story I read years ago in a way to bring it out, because you cannot, okay? You cannot do a good job of providing. You definitely cannot do a good job of protecting. You cannot have the time and relationship to instill principles. Nor can you share or show your patience without being present. So, if I am no person to be giving advice, but if I could give advice, there's two things I'd say. Fathers, you're in the right place this morning. When I raised our kids, Cindy and I, we were lucky. We raised them, we found this church as soon as we had our children, and we've never left. And you've heard the saying, it takes a village. A lot of the elder people that we looked up to are no longer with us now. There's remnants of them still here. There's people here that we raised our families with together. I can point right around and see all those camping trips and all of us, okay? You're in the right place. It doesn't have to be this church, but it needs to be a church, and it needs to be a family. It needs to be around. There's a presence of not just you, but of God's people also. So that's my advice. You're on the right track. Stay on it. And just make sure you're being there. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful for each of us that are here today. We're thankful for the families that are represented. We're thankful for you as a guide for not just fathers, but for partners, for husbands and wives, and in guidance on raising their children. The things that we rely on you for, may we do our best to be that to our children, Father, in a way that can help them to grow closer to you. We just ask that you would go with us as we leave here today, and help us, Lord, to do the best we can, and not just raising our own children, but being part of the community, part of the family, to raise those that we know and love. We ask these things in Jesus' name.